Good afternoon. You guys can do better than that. Good afternoon, Australia. By the way, we have plenty of seats up front, but it's probably more comfortable to sit back. Thank you very much for attending this session. I know it's been a busy day, and I don't know if you flew yesterday or today, but probably a long day for some of you. The topic that I'm going to be covering for the next 75 minutes is Office 365 groups. I'll give you an overview, I'll talk about what you can do from an administration perspective, and I'll close with a product roadmap. And in between, I'll be doing demos both for the on the overview section and as well from an IT admin perspective. Now, this is a 300-level session, and this is a little bit of a part two of a first session that I did right before that. So I'll repeat a little bit, but not that much. So in case you missed it, I'll give you a link to the session. The goal of this session is to talk about, you know, Office 365 Group, which is something we've released in our Office 365 tenant in January of this year, so about 11 months ago. And the goal of that innovation was really to help you collaborate at work and beyond. So before I start, quick word of introduction. I'm Christoph from Microsoft. I'm based in sunny Redmond. And our team, I'm in marketing, and our team focuses on things like manages the products like Yammer, Office 365 Groups, Office Graph, Delve, and more products that I cannot talk about today. I'd put my contact information in the slide, but I think the event team removed it. But yes, I got a Twitter account, an email account, and I think all those are available in the event site if you want to reach out. And like I said earlier, I'm here till Thursday morning, so I get plenty of time tomorrow. I'll be asked the experts. I'll also be hanging around after the session, so if you had any questions about some of the topics I'm going to be covering today, definitely don't be shy and ask all your questions. So let's get started. Okay, so again, three sections. I'll start with the overview to give you a level set of what is Office 365 Groups, and I will and then we'll transition to roadmap. Now, before I start, I think it's very important to level set, you know, why we built this new capabilities and what is some of the challenges or some of the opportunities, pain points that we're trying to tackle within the enterprise. And what I talked about in the early session, again, that I apologize if you couldn't make it, but and I apologize if you attended it, because I'm going to repeat things a little bit. But the point is, like, there's three challenges we're seeing in the enterprise around collaboration. The first challenge is it's hard to get started. Again, if I need to create a virtual team to tackle an urgent need that wasn't part of the plan, but I still need to respond, then I need to create a shared space quickly where we can share documents, schedule, notes, ideation, all that good stuff. So that's the first pain point. It takes days or hours or weeks today in the enterprise to create that shared space. Whether, you know, think of within your enterprise, how long does it take to create a distribution list? How long does it take to create a team sites and so forth? The second challenge that we're seeing as a challenge to or friction to in terms of collaboration in the enterprise is this notion of diverse needs. And we know in the enterprise, like, there's no such thing as one size fits all for collaboration. Christoph might use one tool at that one day and another tool another day. Christoph might use one tool when he's on a mobile phone while he's traveling to beautiful Gold Coast, and when he's back in Redmond in his office, I got multiple screens. So I got different form factors, and throughout the day, throughout the week, I might use different tools to collaborate. So this notion of diverse need is something dear to our heart within Office 365 and at Microsoft. And then the last thing that is a challenge that we want to tackle is this notion of discovery. Like, how do I find the expert and my organization that I never heard of just because we're distributed across this large piece of land that is Australia or worldwide. And it's not just finding the expert, but how do I find a piece of content so that I don't constantly reinvent the wheel over and over? And again, back to what I was saying, if I need to form a team today about an urgent project, an urgent customer escalation, I don't have a lot of time to respond to whatever the needs is. And, you know, the statistics that I was throwing earlier is McKinsey did a research in 2012, and 19% of time is spent in the enterprise looking for information. So think about that. A fifth of your work week, you're looking for stuff, whether you're looking for content or looking for experts. So that's the third challenge we're trying to tackle. So this slide, again, to level set, is here's our product strategy to tackle those collaboration challenges in the enterprise. And then the first bill that you're seeing is, you know, we got a common set of infrastructure. What that means is Christoph, as a user, should just be one definition. And as well, that common set of infrastructure in terms of security, compliance, you know, we got a common foundation across the suite that is Office 365. The second layer that came up when I did that slide bill is Office 365 Group. And obviously, we're going to be spending a lot of time on this today. But again, the idea is if I create a team, I should just do it once. And then a set of applications should create that same definition instead of, think of the old days where I created maybe a distribution list and I've got to manage membership there. I create a team site in SharePoint, I've got a membership there. And I create whatever. You can go on and on with Skype or and so forth. And guess what? We know our teams are dynamic. People leave in and out. People join the company, leave the company. Every time I would have to go into each of those applications to, again, add Christoph, the new hire from the University of Brisbane, and so forth. So with Office 365 Group, you create it once. It's an Azure Active Directory object, and then it's leveraged across the suite by a set of apps. Office Graph, so Office 365 Group is really meant to help you get started. And again, I'll talk about it when I do the demo. You'll see how it's self-service, very easy to create. Office Graph is this notion of, hey, we see what activities you're doing day-to-day, what meetings you attend, what documents you're creating, what notes you're, what emails you send, what conversation you shared in Yammer, and so forth. And then we can do that for all of your colleagues. And then we can apply machine learning. We know where you sit in the organization, where you know how you relate to your colleagues. But then we can start saying, oh, this is a document that Daryl edited. Now, Daryl is not sitting in the same office as you, but potentially we're working on the same subject, and maybe I should connect with that individual that I've never met before, and so we can partner in crime to whatever solve whatever customer problem we're trying to tackle. So that is the Office Graph. On top of that, you got a set of applications, and some of those applications are web-based, some of them are Win32-based, and some of them are mobile, and some of them cut across all three. But think of all those applications, our application you use in some shape or form to collaborate on a project. And then on the far right, far left, sorry, you got Office. So think of, you know, Office in all its glory. You know, you're offering a budget in Excel. You're offering a presentation to present to your leadership. You're hopefully taking lots of OneNote in OneNote this week so you can share all the knowledge you've learned this week to share that with your colleagues that couldn't make it this week and so forth. And then, you know, second bubble, for instance, here is Outlook. And I'll show you, you know, how is Outlook, the familiar Outlook that hopefully you're familiar with, is leveraged this notion of Office 365 groups and Office Graph. But then you go down the spectrum, you get things like SharePoint, things like Yammer, and so forth. And then the very far right, Planner, which I'll be showing you today, which is something that's going to hit first release imminently, which is think of a lightweight task management that you can use to, in a very visual way, to assign work to your colleagues or to yourself and try to track the state of the union with whatever project you're on point for. So again, you get those set of apps, and some of them, you know, again, this is, I want to stress this is a product strategy because not all those apps are leveraging both the Office 365 and groups. For instance, one that I get quite often is, for instance, when is Yammer going to leverage Office 365 groups? And, you know, I'll talk a little more in the roadmap, but it's definitely on the roadmap, and we'll be doing that in about 6 months from now. The other thing I want to stress on this slide is notice the ellipse on the far right. And by no means, this is the exhaustive list of all the apps you might use to collaborate. And then the last point I want to make is by no means we're going to stop there, and we're going to continue to innovate to meet your needs to, again, enable modern collaborations at your enterprise. To close on this slide, again, this is meant that all those apps is meant to illustrate the fact that there's no such thing as one size fits all for collaborations. If one team's using Yammer to collaborate on a project, that's great. If another team using SharePoint, that's great also. If another team maybe wants to graduate from using distribution lists to something a little more modern using Outlook Conversation, that's also great also. The point is, like, all those apps should leverage those three layers that's on this diagram. So that at the end of the day, from an IT perspective, it's all managed. You know, it's not shadow IT, rogue, and Christoph using WhatsApp group to collaborate. That's definitely, hopefully, a no-no at your organization. But so the point, like, hey, you know, people have choice, but at least it's within some controls from an IT perspective. So that's the overview. Again, you know, if you want to find out more and a little more color on this, watch the recording of the session you just missed if you weren't in my prior session. So with that, for the rest of the session, I'll just focus on Office 365 groups. Now, before I dive into demo, again, I talk about the pain points. You know, it's hard to get started and form a team, it's easy to form a team, but it's hard to create that shared space that we're going to use to drive this project to the finish line. And then, so here I've listed some of those benefits of Office 365 groups. So the first thing, again, is that notion there's a single definition across all of Office 365. Again, the beauty is I only created once, and then all those apps leverage that same definition, the same membership, the same property. I don't have to do it over and over and again. The second one is probably something that typically when I present that to IT, people are definitely turned off, which is self-service. Oh my goodness, Christoph, are you telling me that everyone in my organization can create Active Directory objects? Yes, yes. But I'll show you in the section how you can control that and also get insights in terms of all those groups that are being created. But again, think of the value that we're enabling in the enterprise. Because it's self-service, it's very easy for people to get started on whatever is the project that they need to drive. Public by default, again, typically, you know, this is something we pioneer with Yammer. And the idea is, you know, if you're working on a project, working for Contoso, for Microsoft, myself, the assumption is probably someone can leverage that IP, whether it's a presentation here at Ignite or budget or trip report from Ignite Australia. I might write that initially for my direct team or for the engineering team, but maybe there's some sellers, folks that are not directly tied to that, that might benefit from whatever I capture in a set of documents. So that's why we make it public by default. You know, obviously there's a whole movement going on working out loud in the enterprise so that you can accrue to the collective intelligence. And that's what we apply with Office 365 groups. Context on history, this is again something that you've seen if you've been using Yammer, and that's a pain point today with distribution lists, which is if I join a distribution list today, I might ask the same question one of my colleagues asked yesterday, the week before, and so forth. Like, and when I join, I don't have the context of all those discussions, all the documents, and again, I'm starting at ground zero, which is, again, not a very efficient way, especially this day and age where, you know, there's fierce competition in your respective industries, and the differentiator against who's going to win and who's going to potentially drop off to their pedestal is this notion of, you know, give me context so I can get started quickly and cut that discovery, 19% of discovery that I spend doing in the enterprise. Sharing to non-members, again, the idea is there might be a specific team scope for a specific project, but again, we know that collaboration is not always closed, and that at one point in time, or at specific milestones, I might share whatever the milestone we've reached in our team. Let's say I'm in engineering, I might reach something with marketing. Hey, we're getting ready to launch this. Here, you know, we're going to hit this milestone. Is the go-to-market plan ready? Or maybe I want to share something with our sellers so they can start leveraging whatever great product we're going to bring to market. And then simple to manage. Again, the idea is back to the first point that I was making. Because at the end of the day, you're creating a single Azure Active Directory object, you only have one place to manage it, whether you want to delete that group or just put some e-discovery and compliance, there's just one place to do it, and voila, instead of managing it across multiple workloads. So enough slides. Let's show you groups in action. Can you guys switch to the Surface, please? Okay. So for the next 30 minutes or so, I'll be giving you an overview of groups, actually 20 minutes, and then we'll pick up on slides. So again, here's there's two sections to this demo. I'll give you what happens out of the box when you create Office 365 groups today and some of the key functionality you get. And then after that, I'll show you some additional functionality you get, some partner team or additional applications that are leveraging this single definition that is Office 365 group. So I start with the first section. And this first demo, I'm going to start in Outlook. So you're looking at Outlook 2016. Hopefully you're familiar with Outlook. I'm not going to teach you about an inbox. But in Outlook 2016, One thing I want to call to your attention is, notice those groups here. And those are groups I've created, and I'll get back to that. But the first thing I want to show you, it's very easy to create a group. So here I'm in Outlook 2016, and I'm just going to go new item group. And we'll say, hello, Australia. I'll put the short form. And I can define some properties, the group ID if I want to be fancy. I'm just going to hit OK. And there was a drop-down box on public or private. By default, it's public, like I mentioned earlier. And you know, very quickly, I can add some colleagues. You know, I've interacted with Sarah earlier on this demo tenant, and Alex. And I can change the picture. I can put a description. And I click OK. What's happening in the back end, we're doing a bunch of web services call. It's calling, in this case, that demo tenant is running out of one of our data centers in the US. But you see that in seconds, I've created a share environment. Looks like it's not seconds, a little latency here. But I've created a shared space to collaborate with my team. Now, I'm not going to wait for this to be provisioned. In theory, it should be a couple seconds. Looks like it's almost there, but a little latency. And I'll jump instead to one that's already created. So let's go to the engineering group that I've already created. And if I'd waited a little longer for the one I just created, you'll see this. So I got a set of conversations. In this case, I'm in Outlook. And notice that a group has a shared set of experiences. So it's got a shared calendar. So conversation powered by Exchange, a shared calendar, shared set of files, which is under the hood SharePoint Online document library, and a shared notebook for any ideation, note-taking, whatever you're using OneNote for to collaborate. Now you can see in this case, you know, this is a demo data set, and I get, in this case, it's an engineering team, so I get a lot more members in this one. And I apologize, looks like there's a little latency in querying the data in our data centers, but I can see all the members. Some of the things I can do is I can easily start a conversation. Now, a conversation, so I can do that here. I can put a title, so, and I can insert a document. In this case, what you're looking at is this notion of what we call modern attachment or cloud attachment, where automatically we know what documents you've been touching based on your profile, and it flows in this case in Outlook, but this happens across the suite. I was editing in this demo tenant a Word document called Product Strategy, so I can grab that attachment. I'll say, please review by 6 p.m., so in about an hour. And I can just send that. What I just did is I created a discussion. It's in the shared mailbox. And then instead of attaching a physical file, I attach a link to the single version of the file store, in this case, in SharePoint Online. And here we go. So I can go here. And to prove it to you, you can see here I get the little cloud representation next to the file. So I'm not emailing attachment. Let me show you actually the file representation. You can see here it's, so I'm not cheating. I click on the file, so automatically Outlook redirecting me where the storage happens, in this case SharePoint Online, and the Word document is right here, which is a product strategy file that I share with my team. So I started the conversation in Outlook. I could have continued it in Outlook web app, but again, the idea is here I've asked some of my team members to edit a file. And let's continue the demo. In this case, can you guys please switch to the iPhone? Okay, so I'm going to do one more thing. So I've asked my team to edit a document. And what I've got is I've got another browser session here with another persona. And here we're going to open the Outlook Groups app on my mobile phone, in this case an iPhone, but yes, available on Android and Windows Phone as well. And you can see here I got a set of groups that I've already created. You know, it looks like the one I've created earlier hasn't come through. Oh yeah, here we go, the Allo Australia that I created earlier. Now let's look at the engineering team where we left off, where I was in Outlook desktop. So you can see here's the conversation that I just did a minute ago. And to show you that it's live, I can start, you know, to collaborate, we've introduced social gestures. So, you know, I've asked my team to review, and in this case, I'm gonna like this message from one of my peers, from one of the team members. It's not. Let's force a refresh. Okay. Well, in theory, if things were working pretty fast, you'll start seeing the gestures for this message thread. Oh, here we go. So it just came across. Can you see it underneath that? I can see that both Alex and Sarah liked the message. So I can view the discussion. In this case, I've asked them to review a file. So one thing, notice here under the engineering group, notice I've got a files and a notebook. So directly on the mobile app, I can access all the files for that team. And I scroll down, I've got access to that document library where all those files are stored. I can click on that document that I shared. So here automatically opens Word on my, in this case, form factor, which is on my iPhone. It's connected directly to that Word document stored in one of our data center. Downloading the latest version of the document. And what I'm going to do is edit it. And if things that work according to plan, do this one more time. Yeah, here we go. I want to show you that it's live on Kicking, and I'm going to edit the same document from another persona. And in theory, in second, I should be notified that I'm co-authoring, in this case with Sarah. But while we wait for that, you can see that obviously I get the document, obviously different form factor. And maybe I'll delete this sentence, you know, whatever I need to do. Here you go. You can see now that Sarah is editing, in our case, in Chrome, and I'm just reviewing this document or editing the document on this form factor on my phone. You get the idea. The point is, like, on the go, I can actually view the changes and also make changes. And then I can come back and, you know, let's pretend that Sarah gave me a thumbs up or whatever, and I can say, you know, thank you all. And, you know, I can reply to this post, to this message, because I've seen all the changes. So I went from asking my team to do something, dashing to, let's say, a customer meeting on my phone and continuing the conversations, and more importantly, getting work done on the phone while on the go. The other thing that I can do that I give you a glimpse on when I was in Outlook as well on the web is I can also access all the notebook, all the notes my team has been taking with the lifetime of this particular project. So you can see I've got the usual tabs that I've got here in with OneNote, obviously different form factor because of the smaller UI, in this case, an iPhone 6, but you get the idea. I can also, you can see that in theory notification, I can see that also the notification I've been notified, and yes, your notifications also pop, in this case, on the phone, and you can configure notification however you like. You know, this is just a general phone settings. And the last thing I want to show you before I hop back onto the Surface Pro is the other thing you can do as well on the go is one of my favorite features is I can also discover other projects, other groups that are relevant to what I do. And you know, because we know who you interact with, and we also know all those other projects happening, here it's showing me different groups that might be relevant that my peers are working on. So in this case, marketing professional development out of my demo tenant, I can easily join that group, and suddenly it's going to add it to my list of groups, and I'm going to start tracking all the activities happening with this specific team going forward. If we can switch back to the Surface Pro, please. So I did a little bit of a collaboration on the go. The next thing I want to show you with groups is pretend that I get an immediate need to meet with the team. And in this case, you know, potentially I'm going to go to another group. If I can find my other group. Here we go. So in this case, I've got a much smaller team and a picture of the session I was doing earlier. And wouldn't it be nice that automatically, you know, if I've got an immediate need, I'm walking into a customer meeting and I don't have time to send an email. I just want to have a quick video call with the team to figure out whatever the question I have as I'm stepping into, let's say, meeting a customer. So the beauty about Office 365 Group is because it's an Azure Active Directory object, that single definition flows in other experiences such as Skype. So what you're seeing here is a conversation I'd done earlier in the prior session. You can see that group, you know, I've got a representation here. I can start a video call, like a ad hoc meeting with that group by just clicking on it. In this case, to launch Skype. And we're going to pick up here on the phone to show you that it's live. I'll turn on the video for that persona. In this case, Sarah. Let's put the video on. Oh, you can see me. Here you go. You can see yourself. Hang on. Anyway, you get the idea. What did I do wrong here? Video. Here we go. So you can see yourself, right, Sarah? So the point is, like, in seconds, you know, we can do that. And, you know, it goes a step further. I can easily do, you know, kick off a share note in the engineering team. And voila, you know, it grabs automatically, populates all the attendees for this call, and I can go about taking the minutes for this call and all the key decisions our team's making so we can follow up after the fact. The point here is, again, we support, you know, some of those, remember that diagram I show you where you get all those apps that are leveraging some of that single definition that span the suite. And that's what I just showed you with things like Skype for Business, leveraging Office 365 Group due to the nature that Skype can leverage what's in the global address list. Now, I could have started the call on my Skype for Business on the phone as well, but in this case, I just did it from Outlook. So I've showed you some of those core functionality that you get in groups. You get the ability to start conversations, and you know it's a modern conversation. You can like, you can at mention, stuff like that. You got a shared calendar. I didn't show you that. Actually, maybe I'll show you that very quickly since this is a popular feature for all the people who are using groups today. So here I can go to the calendar item. And what you're looking at here in blue is my work calendar. And in green are all the shared events for that project. And you can see, for instance, if I pick, you know, Tuesday in my demo tenant, you can see there's a XT2000 data sheet. And that's not on my calendar, but let's say I really want to make sure I don't miss that meeting. I can easily do this. We can do this for the occurrence or for it's a recurring meeting. And in seconds, what it's going to do is going to grab a copy of that shared event, whatever that shared event is, and it's going to put a copy in my calendar. And from there on, here you go, you can see it in blue, I'm notified of that event, and that means I've got no excuse, whether I'm on my phone or Outlook, not to be aware of when that, whatever the 2 p.m. or 1:30 p.m. meeting is for the X2200. So shared calendar to help you drive project. Let's close Skype. Okay, so let's switch now in terms of, we got a group, single definition and Azure Active Directory, set of conversation, shared calendar, shared set of files, and shared notebook. Let's show you other applications that leverage that foundation that I mentioned earlier. And the first one I'm going to show you, let's leverage Edge, is Power BI. So again, I'm not going to give you a full session of what Power BI is, but think of our offer as Microsoft to help you slice and dice data. So I've just launched Power BI in my demo tenant. And yes, I put together some pretty dashboard thanks to our out-of-the-box sample data sets. And again, I'm not going to show you, this is not a Power BI session, but you get the idea. Now, it wouldn't be nice where, you know, it's great. In this case, maybe I'm managing opportunities. I'm the head of sales for the New South Wales or Queensland, I should say. And, you know, maybe I've got a monthly call with all my sellers for this region. And while it's great that I produce beautiful dashboard, when I'm having a call with everyone, maybe I want everyone to start massaging their data in Excel or provide feedback, or maybe I want to have like recurring meeting that I have with my team. Well, guess what? Groups integrates with Power BI. And that's what you're seeing here since July of this year, so about 4 months ago, the Power BI that we've released gives you that shared workspace, which is underneath an Office 365 group. So any of those projects, you know, I can click here. Let me go back to, here's the project that I was using earlier, you know, Ignite demo. And for that group, you know, I can share, you know, an Excel spreadsheet or dashboard, a pivot table that I'm using to slice and dice data. I can start a conversation with my team. I can set recurring meetings. Again, the idea is, you know, Power BI is kind of those advanced workload to do data analytics, but we give you that collaboration, those basic collaborations need you get for your projects in terms of ability to start conversations, the ability to set meetings for your team, and so forth. So Power BI is one of the application leveraging Office 365 group. The next one I'm going to show you is Dynamics CRM. Again, it's another partner team at Microsoft. And in this case, it's going to open someone's being smart, and so my demo tenant. So in this case, Dynamics CRM, again, I'm not going to give you a full session, but you know, think of Dynamics CRM as our ERP solution. In this case, I'm going to look into the sales module. So for those of you that are not familiar with it, you know, it's where typically a sales team will use to manage opportunities and follow whatever the rigor and the process you get to manage opportunities. So in this case, I get an opportunity. In this case, I get the 6 order SKU, blah, blah, blah opportunity. And I'm going to open that up. And you know, this is what our sellers do. And let's say in Queensland to manage opportunities, and it's got different stages and so forth. But wouldn't it be nice to let's pretend that my team of sellers is in a compete situation, and I need help, not just from another seller. I need Christoph the marketeer or Christoph the engineer to give maybe that customer a sneak peek into what else are we cooking that's going to make a real difference in terms of winning this contract. So wouldn't it be nice that we can pull in other folks in the organization to win this deal? And that's what I just did, is an opportunity can be mapped to an Office 365 group. And again, in this case, that opportunity is managed in Dynamics CRM, but it's pulling in, because I mapped this opportunity to an Office 365 group, I get the shared calendar with the recurring weekly sales meeting. I get conversations, I get shared files, I get a shared notebook for that team. And typically, last but not least, is typically what people love about this is, you know, typically when you get a line of business app such as Dynamics CRM, only a subset of the folks in your organization are licensed to access it. Again, if Christoph is in engineering or Christoph is in marketing, he's typically not licensed because he doesn't have a need to be licensed to manage a sales automation tool. But yet again, at the end of the day, we're all part of the same team. And if me jumping on a call, jumping on a project to help my seller is for the good of our company, then I should be able to do that. So we're easily breaking silos across the org. And to prove it to you, I can say again, hello, Gold Coast. You know, I can post a message and I can add mention Sarah. I won't add mention, I'll just do that. So I just say, hello, Gold Coast. Come on. And then you can see here, if I go back to, actually, I'll go, let me show you Sarah. And where is my, here we go. So my little test project with the Clint Eastwood. So here we go, and I can like and say, you know, I can pick it up and say, oh, how about, oops. I can do, you know, let's pull in the marketing team. And voila, so I've just notified another team doing an ad mention. So you get the idea. So that's Dynamics CRM, integrating an entity in Dynamics CRM with Office 365 groups. And I show you the integration from a sales opportunity, but it could be, you can map to any against any of the entities in Dynamics CRM. Last but not least, I want to do on demo-wise is show you something. So those two are available. The last one I want to show you is something that's going to be hitting first release imminently. And for this one, because it's not in the app launcher, And that's Office 365 Planner. So that's something we've announced on September 22nd that, again, are going to be coming pretty soon. And the idea is, hey, I should be able to create tasks, whether I'm using Agile or just a board or whether in marketing or engineering, and be very easily, in a visual way, start creating to-dos and assigning that to my teams. What you're looking at here is a sneak peek of what's going to be coming to your tenant. You can see here I've got a set of projects that I'm tracking and my Ignite demo, engineering, and so forth. You can see all the other plans, and think of a plan as an Office 365 group. It's a one-to-one mapping. And I can dive into this one that I've been doing for demos, and I can start seeing, give me the breakdown of all those tasks. You can see here, I can move things around. It's very visual. I get a set of buckets here that I can create, to-dos, campaign, events. I can move tasks around. I can assign a task. It's as easy as saying, I can type here another task, and I can assign that to one of my colleagues. I can, do more stuff with it, link it to a document, and so forth. I can also, I've got to more slice and dice the data and look at the data from a chart perspective, has assignments, who's behind, and so forth. And then, like I mentioned earlier, that's all the things I can do with Planner. And guess what? Because it's built on Office 365 groups, I got access to all that functionality that I was mentioning earlier. So I can dive into a conversation with that team and pick it up from there. And guess what? It's back to where we were earlier when we were doing the demo. So again, to wrap up this first set of demos, I showed you how easy it is to create a group. In this case, I created an Outlook, but it could have been on the web or soon on the mobile device. And I showed you some of those core functionality that you get when you create a group, a set of conversations powered by Exchange Online, shared folder from SharePoint Online, shared calendar, and a shared notebook. And then I showed you things like Power BI, Dynamics CRM, and soon Planner are plugged into this infrastructure to give you additional industry-specific or additional experiences depending on what your needs are. Can we go back to the presentation device, please? So let's switch to back to slides. Please. I can talk about it. Number six. Well, thanks. Okay, so I've already talked about this. It's just a recap of what I showed you. Yes, Groups is integrated with Outlook 2016. I'll talk about other innovation we'll do in that later. And so you get access to that app that I showed you across Android, Windows Phone, and on iOS. I've showed you the Power BI that released in July. I show you Planner that's soon to be available in first release 10. And last but not least, Dynamics CRM, which will release next month. The current lead integration is in preview. OK, let's switch back now to the second section, which is administration. Again, I'm guessing because you're here at Ignite, most of you are IT pros. So let's dive into some of those functionalities that we have to help you manage Office 365 groups. And so to start, first of all, groups, I put my hat as an end user when I was doing the demo, but you as an administrator or as a tenant admin, you can also manage and create groups on behalf of users. And those are the different endpoints you can do. So you can use it using the tenant admin. You can use the Azure Active Directory web UI. And last but not least, you can also use it on the upcoming Office 365 admin app that's available across all three platforms, the mobile app. As well as using the UI to create groups, the thing that we all love as IT professionals, you can also use PowerShell scripts. And I'll give you a couple demos later. But the point is, that's what the Star Unified Group and Star Unified Group links, but all the create, read, update, and delete activities and adding members and so forth can be scripted via PowerShell. The other two links I put in the slide that might be of interest to you, which is a question I get quite often, is I see tremendous value in Office 365 groups, especially around conversation, especially against, let's say, a traditional distribution list. How can I convert from a DL to Office 365 group? And in there is a link to a script that one of our Exchange MVP has produced to help you, grab that membership from an existing DL, spin up a group, transfer the membership, and then decommission in that DL. The next thing I want to show is that, again, back to the point I was making earlier, and because of Office 365 Group, it's self-service. Anyone in the organization by nature can create groups. It tends to scare you folks or IT in general. And so we've listened, and I'll show you next what we're doing on the roadmap, but this is what you can do today. You can enforce naming policies, and whether it's a prefix, a suffix, you name it, or both, or whether also you want to enforce to make sure that Christoph doesn't use bird words in terms of how he names his groups. And, you know, we've rolled that to, again, like I said earlier, Groups has been around in production since January, and we've been seeing tremendous adoption in the education sector, whether it's K-12 or higher education. And you can imagine that students, by nature of being students, very lots of energy, very creative, and sometimes they might create a name that might be offending to other people. And so you can, you know, definitely put some controls in terms of preventing Christoph to be too creative, and also, you know, maybe you want to manage naming conventions. You can do that using some of the standard naming policy that we support in Exchange Online. The second thing that I want to mention that's on this slide is group creation permissions. So yes, you can disable group creation. Yes, you can only scope group creation to one part of your organization. One thing that I want to stress before you go crazy and disable everything is, again, think of the problem we're trying to solve here. The challenge you've got in your organization is hard to get started on collaborate. So while yes, you can, there's a kill switch and you can prevent collaboration, I really, really, really want you guys to at yourself, sit down with your peer in marketing or sales or whatever, the engineering team, and really listen to their needs. And the reason I'm stressing this is it takes seconds to turn it off with PowerShell. But you know what's gonna happen? If you're not giving the tools to your users at your organization to collaborate, you know what Christoph's gonna do? He's gonna go on WhatsApp, create a group. He's gonna go on Facebook, create a group. He's gonna do everything that is shadow IT, not within your organization, rogue IP, not floating into the wall, not mandated, because again, if Christoph needs to create a team to get something delivered by Friday, I don't have time to wait or whatever, I just need something today. So again, before you go crazy on being very restrictive on who can create groups, I really want to challenge that assumption of, hey, it's great that everyone can create groups, let me ride that wave, and instead, you know, instead of being a gatekeeper, I want to be a groundskeeper and really enabling my users to help them collaborate. Anyway, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, but I had to make that point. So with that, I got one more slide and then we'll do demo. The last thing that we're going to announce, did I say that? Yeah. We're going to announce this week is we have a set of APIs that we actually were in preview in April that we announced at Build back in San Francisco. And this week we're going to go from preview to general availability. And what's great about that is, you know, when we're GA, it means it's fully supported so that if you run into an issue, you can call support and we'll fix it, whatever the issue is. The reason, typically, the question I get asked is, why would I create extensibility into Office 365 groups? And I put two reasons there, but you can also think of the demo I was doing earlier. That's the same reason that the Power BI team at Microsoft integrate with groups. That's the same reason why the planner team or the Dynamics team integrate with groups. It's potentially in your organization, you want to leverage some of the goodness that you're licensed for and maybe connect groups with a line of business app. Maybe you want to create a vertical specific solutions. And that's what some of those API enable you to do. Yes, you can create groups using a REST API, but more importantly, you can inject the conversation from, let's say, a third party app or create event on the fly and so forth. I put on the slides links. There's a documentation for all our API. And more importantly, there's a self-paced lab so that, again, you can hand that off to your favorite developers or yourself, if you're a developer, if they want to ramp up and start looking at the possibility to integrate groups with or integrate line of business app or build a vertical specific solution on top of Office 365 groups. Last but not least, this slide I just added for this event because I've been giving this presentation in a number of cities worldwide, and this is a recurring ask, which is, okay, I get that Office 365 group is in the cloud. It's created in Azure Active Directory, but, you know, Christoph, you know, I'm not fully in the cloud yet, so what is the hybrid support? And with a mechanism called Azure Active Directory Connect, You can grab that cloud definition and bring it in on-premises to your Active Directory. If you're not familiar with AD Connect, definitely, I think we got a bunch of Azure AD sessions. If not, there's a link to the documentation. But we support that mechanism of bring that definition on-premises. And then, you know, if you get the right requirement, you know, you need AD Premium on Exchange 2013, Kubernetes Update 9, once you've met all the requirements, then an end user, that let's say you still have my mailbox on-premises because you haven't migrated or whatever reason, Christoph will go in his Outlook like he does every day. He starts typing an email, and that name of that team will resolve because it's in Active Directory, and I can start sending an email, except, you know, the email will be stored in the shared mailbox in the cloud, but Christoph, from an end-user perspective, with his mailbox in Exchange on-premises, it'll be transparent to me. So we do support a hybrid support, and I put all the requirements and documentation if you're in that use case. And let's give you a couple demos. If you guys can switch to the Surface Pro 3, please. Great. So let's do. Let me show you some of those things that I was showing you. So in this case, I'm going to go to the tenant admin. So here I go into groups, and you'll see that the groups that I was showing you earlier are accessible here. And you know, I can maybe pick one I was creating earlier. So hello Australia, I can get there. You know, I can edit member and I can delete groups, or I can just promote admin. So again, you as an admin, as an administrator, you can always step in and do whatever you need. You know, just pretend someone left the company or is sick, and you know, if I need to promote Alex as an admin, I can do that. So I get caps lock, so I can do that. Oops. Never mind, I went to the wrong UI. Let's go add as an admin. Anyway, you get the idea. So I can always come in as a tenant administrator and promote another administrator because maybe a team member is sick and someone needs to step in. The other thing I wanted to show you is naming policy. One thing I'm not going to show you because of lack of time, but you can also manage groups on the mobile app via the Office 365 admin app, and we're going to be releasing it pretty soon, where you go to the Office 365 admin app, available on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, and you'll be able to manage groups. So the same thing I was showing you there in a beautiful, you know, in this case, a Surface Pro 3, you'll be able to do on the go as you're traveling to the Gold Coast or your daily commute, whatever you need to do that you can only do via your phone. So the next thing I want to show you is naming policy. So here I'm going to go back to, in this case, well, let's create a group via Outlook on the web. So I'm just going to little plus sign here. And you know, similar to the format when I was in Outlook, here I'm just showing you from a different endpoint. And first of all, the first thing I want to do is let's pretend that I'm going to not pay attention. Let's pretend it's not a good day. And I type a word there, and I'm going to hit create. And if you paid attention, Christoph used something called, I'm not going to read it, but you get the idea, something that's apparently not approved by my organization as a naming, as a name, and I'm blocked. Now let's use something a little more respectful. I'll put Office 365 group, and I'm going to create that. Again, it's going to take, I'll skip that. And notice here how the group that I just created in seconds, it's got underscore Seattle. Why is that? Because in this particular demo tenant, I've put in a naming policy for this for a group creation. So to show you that, let me show you a naming policy in action, or where I define it. I go to tenant administration, go to Exchange, and then again, I wasn't planning to give you a full lecture on naming policy, but here I can click on group, and you can scope naming policy for different groups, different security groups. In this case, I did it for the old company for this particular, within my tenant. And in here, I'll zoom in a little bit, but you see that the third option is configure group naming policy. So I'm going to click there. And two things before I show you the naming policy. You see here I've got a block word, and that's why this beautiful word was blocked. And more importantly, on the naming policy, in this case, I've created an underscore, which is what you're seeing here. And I added an attribute. In this case, that's an attribute from the user creating the group. In this case, a property from Azure, Active Directory. And in this case, it's the city where the user belongs. You get the idea that potentially you can apply either a prefix, suffix based on additional properties. So you're putting some law on order in terms of the naming policy for those groups within your organization. The last thing I want to show you is, again, the PowerShell angle to administer groups. So let me make sure. So I'll create a group. So again, I'm not going to give you the full PowerShell tutorial, but here I've logged into my tenant. Here I've entered two parameters. I think I've got to, let me just make sure I refresh. So I'm going to put two, because I think I've already used those names. So here I'm just defining some parameters. And creating a group is as simple as this command. So let me run it. And then I'll show you in action. So just new unified group. In this case, I'm passing a parameter. What is the display name on the alias? And you know it's going to go about its business, making the calls, passing those two parameters, and create exactly like I was doing on the web UI. And voila, it created it. And let's query it to make sure it created it, which is that get unified group. And voila, you know it got created. And you can see, you know, it's a real demo as good as it gets. And probably the next thing you want to do in this case, what I did is I just created the shell. You probably want to add members, and that's what those two commands are. And from a PowerShell, a little trick is, you know, you add underscore unified group links. Think of links as the properties. So in this case, I'm adding Sarah and I have a colleague, and the first command makes them as members. And the trick to make as owner, you need to add it as a member, and then again add it as an owner. So it's like a two-step process, but this is how you would go about doing it. And if I query membership for this group, and voila, I get, you know, Fabrice and those other three personas and now being happily added to this group as members. Yes, you can delete groups, and I'm not going to show you that. The last thing I'll do, actually, one thing I'll show you, since I get a little bit of time, is you can also query all the groups in your organization. So I'm not going to give you a PowerShell tutorial on piping and selecting. But here I've created this, I'm leveraging the get unified group, and this one takes a couple seconds because it's issuing a bunch of commands on the back end, but it's, you know, I want a list of all the groups, and then for all the groups, I want how many members, how many owners, and then I want to sort them in order when they were created, and I've set a set of format of what I want as the output. So again, you know, I can happily share this if you're interested on the exact syntax of this command. And since this is still running, you might be wondering, okay, Christoph, I love PowerShell, but can't you provide this out of the box? Yes, we are going to provide out of the box report. So here we go. Look, Ignite Oz 2 is here, and voila, and you get the idea that Christoph was not cheating his live groups demo. Okay, the last thing I want to show you from a PowerShell is, remember I was telling you, if for some reason you don't want to enable group creation to everyone in your organization, but you want to scope it, yes, you can define naming policy. Now, I'm not going to run all those commands because I'm running out of time a little bit. But the point is, like, using some of those PowerShell commands, new OWA mailbox policy and blah, 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 and then you apply it to an individual or a team, you can scope, you can prevent a user from creating groups. And that's what this command, groups creation enable. So I've run that against a specific persona, in this case, Alex. So let's refresh Alex. And, you know, Alex is a bad boy, and so I've removed it. Notice here, how do I know that Alex can't create group? There's a plus sign missing here. He can't create group. Let me stress it. Let me show you from my angle as the, you'll see that if I go here, come on, come on, come on. Do you see me? I'm the tenant, and then I can create group. Alex, not so much. So again, the only thing to be crystal clear, we're preventing Alex from creating groups, but Alex can fully participate in all the groups, right? So maybe you want to, you know, think of, you know, with PowerShell or REST API, you know, I've had customers asking me to create a form on the front end so you can do things in the back end. Yes, you can do that. But again, back to my point early, don't put the bar too high that you're going to turn off people. And because you're putting the bar so high to request a group, Christoph is going to use WhatsApp instead. Think of the devil's advocate on shadow IT. So anyway, that's how you can control it. Probably a smarter way to do it instead of doing it at an individual level is do it at a team or you know, at the security level, or a group security level versus an individual. Okay, if we can switch back to the slides, please. Thank you. So last stretch, last section is, okay, I've showed you what's available today, what you can use groups for, I show you what you can do in terms of administrations. What are we currently cooking in the Redmond kitchen as we speak? And there's just one slide, so pay attention. And basically, I've divided all those features in terms of what are we doing to continue to delight end users, further integrations with other applications, and then you'll see a laundry list of other things we're doing to please you guys, to please IT in terms of administration. So key investments around experiences. The first number one ask, you know, ever since we've rolled out groups is, hey, Christoph, I love this, but collaboration doesn't just sit within the four walls of my company. I got an expert from Microsoft. I got a self-employed DBA, a Microsoft account manager, or I'm just collaborating with a customer, someone outside of my AD. So can you enable guest access within a group? And that's what we're going to be delivering pretty soon, is to enable you to add Christoph at Outlook.com, add Christoph at Microsoft.com to groups, Office 365 groups, and to make sure you guys get the point, when we'll deliver this, Christoph will have access to not just the conversation, the files, the shared calendar, the notebook, et cetera, because the innovation we're doing is at the Azure Active Directory level. So that's coming pretty soon. Continuously improving the UI design. This is a broad term, both on the mobile app and as well as on the UX or just in Outlook, where again, we're constantly getting feedback from you guys. We're looking at our telemetry data, and we're going to continue to make tweaks to improve, you know, the discovery and use of Office 365 groups. Search on discovery, that's also something we've heard from a lot of customers, which is, hey, help me find out other groups in OWA or discover a team that's very relevant. I show you how you can do that on the mobile app, but we're going to make other improvements in Outlook on the web or Outlook desktop. Calendaring improvements, that's also a top ask, especially on the mobile app. I didn't really show you. You can't really access the single shared calendar on the mobile app, and that's something we're looking at delivering in the future, as well as how we handle calendar requests in a group. And typically, the use case I get is, you remember I was showing you a team and there was a meeting today. Let's say it's the happy hour or the daily sprint, scrum, whatever. Then I want those invites to flow to everyone's calendar. I don't want anyone to have an excuse to have missed that important happy hour or the daily stand-up or the daily whatever, the celebration. So we'll give you tweaks on how we handle meeting requests to make sure no one misses a beat. And so that's what we mean by calendaring improvements. And the last but not least, you know, I don't know if you get some MacBook at your company, but we're also going to integrate groups with Outlook 2016 for Mac. Again, the one I was showing you was Outlook 2016 that we've just released for PC. So that's in terms of experiences. What are we doing in terms of integration? So Office 365 Planner, I just show you a sneak peek, and that's coming, going to be hitting first release pretty soon. And then the next thing that we're going to do that I didn't really mention or I didn't show is Office Graph on Dell, which is the ability within Dell. If you're not familiar with Dell, you should definitely check it out. But you know, it's the ability to figure out what's going on in your organization. And we'll start surfacing groups. So again, within the homepage of Delve, you'll be able to say, oh, here's a group that maybe you want to join because it's relevant to what you do day in, day out. And then once you've joined the team, we'll also scope the graph and all the signals for that team. So again, the example I gave earlier in that power session is, let's pretend you're here at the Gold Coast this week. You're going to get back in the office on Friday or Monday, and you want to get caught up with that team that's been running the project while you were out of the office. And that team's been exchanging emails, capturing notes in OneNote, editing documents, whatever, sharing conversation on Yammer, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll scope that so you, very quickly you'll see what all the activities that has been happening, and you'll be able to get caught up very quickly. So that's what we mean by the office graph on Delve integration with groups. Skype Meet Now, the little demo I did with Skype Desktop, Skype for Business Desktop that I did early on the on my Surface Pro, will also give you a button on the web so you can start a ad hoc meeting directly from your favorite browser. So it's just the same functionality, but yet another endpoint. SharePoint is, again, I mentioned earlier that the files that you're getting with groups today are SharePoint document library. And it's not a full party with a document library that you get with a full with a SharePoint team site today. So there's three things we're going to do. We're going to have full party in terms of all the functionality you're going to get in a document library today in SharePoint within files and groups. So things like advanced content management, things like workflows and tagging, you'll get that in the group's file storage. Then the other scenario we're going to enable is let's pretend you've been using a SharePoint team site for months, for years, and you get a lot of content. And there's no need to throw that away, and that's probably where you get a bookmark. So we enable that team site to leverage that single membership that is Office 365 Groups. So to map membership, instead of managing membership within SharePoint, suddenly you're elevating that to an Office 365 Groups. And because of that, then you can start leveraging additional capabilities, like I mentioned, like Planner. And the last thing we're going to do with SharePoint is also, in the future, we think that every time you create an Office 365 Group, or every time you create a team site, you should get, if you create a team site, you should really map to an Office 365 group. And if you create an Office 365 group, we'll spin up a team site for you. So that's some of the integration that we're looking to do in the future with SharePoint and Office 365 groups. And then the last one that I want to stress is Yammer. We made several announcements about that, and that's something actually we're working on as we speak, which is, again, today, if I spin up a group in Yammer, it's not connected to an Office 365 groups in Yammer. In Azure Active Directory. So in the future, when we wired Yammer to Office 365 groups, you know, let's pretend that Yammer is my tool of choice to collaborate. Remember, we're saying there's no such thing as one size fits all. And I create a group in Yammer. For me, the end user, it looks like I'm creating a group in Yammer. Under the hood, what's really happening is I just created an Azure Active Directory object, aka an Office 365 group, and voila. So you might say, well, what's the value for the end user? The value for the end user is because it's got that single membership, suddenly we're going to light up additional workloads that you don't get with Yammer today, like things of a shared calendar that I was showing you earlier. Think of task management powered by Planner. Or think of that shared file folders that's really SharePoint Online under the hood. So this is definitely an exciting integration that we're working on that'll be delivered, what we announced is by first half of 2016. So that's in terms of integration. Last but not least, here's the laundry list we're doing for administration. So let me go over all of these one by one. So a couple of things we're going to support in the coming weeks about this month, which is e-discovery and litigation hold. Again, if you're not familiar with that, but typically those are used in, you know, if you're in legal or some industries require it. But basically, you'll set that up and you'll be able to, you know, do lit hold or e-discovery, not only on the conversations, but also on all the files and so forth. DLP, again, that's something we're going to be supporting in the future. Auditing, that's one I get quite a bit, is, hey, how about if that specific group is fairly sensitive? It's a merger acquisition group or whatever, and I want to really see what Christoph's doing with this group. He's adding a member, he's removing a member, blah, blah, blah. So we'll fire at events. That'll fire up for this group so it can be very granular in terms of you as an IT to track what is the circadian rhythm going with that groups. Dynamic on hidden membership. So hidden membership is something we've been asked quite a bit in the EDU education space, which is use case is, let's say Christoph is part of a special needs group because he's got special needs. Then to avoid bullying, we don't want other students to see that Christoph is a member of that group. So we'll obfuscate membership so that you can't see that Christoph is attending the special needs class. I know there's also potentially use cases in the enterprise where you don't want to see that special team who the members are. Dynamic membership is a very common ask we get from from you guys, which is, again, instead of me managing Sarah and Garth and Alex and who are the members of this group day in, day out, why don't we do it based on Active Directory properties? So it's set to membership is defined by all the employees on the Gold Coast, from our office on the Gold Coast. Or instead, let's have all the membership defined to that report to this executive vice president or whatever the property is in AD. So that's what we'll do. The definition will be driven by dynamic membership, and from there on, you don't have to manage manually adding someone or removing someone as those teams evolve over time. Expiring active groups, that's also top of mind, which is, hey, maybe you had a couple of students using groups, and now they're back to uni, they're no longer part of your organization, they were just doing an internship. Maybe that group is no longer valid, all those conversations and those files they were goofing around with. Why don't we expire it and delete all the content? So that's what we'll give you. You know, we'll give you warning like 30 days, 60 days, and potentially, you know, we'll go in a soft delete, but the ability to clean things up that are no longer valid or no longer used in our organization. Multi-domain support has also come and ask, you know, because for instance, for the conversation, you know, we create an ID, we know that, you know, maybe over time you've grew through acquisition and you might have multiple domain in your organization. We should also support multi-domains on how you within groups. Admin reports, I already mentioned that. You know, instead of, yes, you can run beautiful PowerShell command, let and pipe results and blah, blah, blah. But we're also going to go a step further. And within your tenant admin, we'll give you a report of all the groups, members, and things like that. So you get an overall pulse of the patient and see what's going on in your organization. And then hybrid guidance on improvements. I mentioned earlier some of the requirements for hybrid. And again, we're going to take another crank in our documentation. There was a couple things missing. And to remake it seamless, if you do have mailboxes in an Exchange on-prem configuration, and that might be a great use case for you guys to deploy. A couple of things that I get asked when I mention that, is that an exhaustive list of all the things you're working on? No, it's not an exhaustive list of what we're working on. I'm giving you what we're ready to disclose today. And, you know, check back again quite often because things are going to be moving pretty fast. You know, you get the link to the office roadmap, and I'm sure you bookmark what our blog, and I'm sure you're monitoring Message Center, and you're monitoring tweets from usual suspects. But trust me, mark my word, there's going to be more to come. Like all the ones that I mentioned on this slide, it's about the next 6 months. You know, all the IT column, and by March, we'll deliver all these. So, yes, we've got a huge backlog. But I'm just giving you a sneak peek of what I know is being staff and what engineering is already working on. So this is, you know, so the point I want to make is if you want to track any specific one, you can go on the roadmap. If you still have questions, definitely ping me. Okay, let's wrap up. So I started with a glimpse of, hey, what are we doing in terms of collaboration? How are we helping companies get started quickly, address the diverse needs to collaborate? And the last topic that I didn't really cover, but I mentioned, is how do we help you with discovery with things like the Office Graph on Delve? I give you a real double click on what is Office 365 Groups. It's easy to spin, to create. You know, it's self-service, public by default. Automatically, when I create a group, I get a shared mailbox, shared calendar, shared files, shared notebook. I also give you a glimpse on how additional thing we're going to deliver to, again, take it a step further to help you collaborate. If you need task management, guess what? Planner might be something that fulfills the need of a specific teams. If you got some data scientists at your organization that are leveraging Power BI, guess what? They'll get a shared space by integrating Power BI with groups. If you got a team of sellers, a team of marketeers, a team of customer support, maybe they're leveraging Dynamics Online, guess what? They can map all those entities with Office 365 groups and really break application silos and pull other members of your organization. And then last but not least, I show you a bunch of things we're doing in terms of administration to make sure you guys, from an IT perspective, you're in the driver's seats. And then last but not least, I give you a glimpse of what we're going to do in terms of future investments that we're making across all those things, experiences, integrations, and administration. For those of you that didn't attend the earlier session, definitely recommend watching it, which is the first bullet here. Well, you get a little more color of things like what are some of the key innovations with things like Yammer, Delve, and Office Delve, and the Graph. Last but not second action, I'm going too fast. I'm thinking happy hour. It's beer o'clock, right? It's definitely past beer o'clock. drive Office 365 Groups usage. Again, I made the point, yes, you can disable it, but I want you guys to really enable usage and think of the use cases. You know, if you're unsure how to use this, you know, definitely shoot me an email, and that's where we're looking at taking a few cranks. But again, think maybe that team that's using distribution list that's frustrated because of XYZ, or that team that's already using some shadow IT that's without your control, maybe groups is one way to bring them back in or make them more productive, help them get started, help them with addressing those diverse needs, that diverse needs challenge that I mentioned earlier. So really drive usage at your organization. And then last but not least, give us feedback. I do mean it, whether it's product feedback on things we're missing in terms of administrations, things that we're missing in terms of experiences, whether it's on the mobile app or, you know, in Outlook desktop or Outlook on the web or some of those other workloads that you might be using today. Or maybe it's guidance, maybe something that we need to do from a marketing perspective or for content to help you get started on this journey. So again, like my contact information were on that slide, but they were removed, but it's in the site. You can search my name. It's pretty unique. Hopefully you'll find me. And give us feedback. Tell us the good things, the bad and the ugly, so we can continue to improve so that the next time I come to Ignite, hopefully I'll have another checkbox to one of your asks. I put at the bottom a couple key asks. If you get more questions, there's a very vibrant community in our Office 365 network. And it's not just folks from Redmond, you know, the cooks that are managing and building groups every day, but you get MVPs, you get even have marketeers like myself. And so ask your questions, you know, interact with the community, get feedback, ask all the questions are welcome, and hopefully we'll answer those as quickly as possible. And then last but not least, definitely fill in your evaluation. Tell me what I did wrong, what I did okay. So that, you know, the next event I can improve. With that, we've got 2 minutes left. I give you 2 minutes back. I want to thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the week. Happy Tuesday.